Thank you for tuning in to the Heritage Church of God in Maumee, Ohio, where Senior Pastor Robert L. Fry has a great message from God's holy word. We'd love for you to come and join us at Heritage Church of God, where our motto is, a salvation experience makes you a member. We're located at 3520 Strayer Road in Maumee, Ohio. Look for the red brick church in the valley. If you'd like more information about Heritage Church of God, contact the office at 419-861-9520 or visit our website at heritagechurchofgod.org. Now, let's listen to Pastor Fry share a message inspired by God.
Turn with me to the book of Luke, chapter 1. As we approach Easter, I think there are some things that we need to know and understand as we approach and are in this season. Chapter 1, verse 1 says, "Insomuch as many have taken in hand to set in order a narrative of these things which have been fulfilled among us, just as those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word delivered to them, it seems good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write to you an orderly account, most excellent Theophilus, that you may know the certainty of those things in which you were instructed." Our Heavenly Father, I pray today that the essence of this message be taken not only into the people's minds, but into their hearts, so we might be a better Christian, better to serve you, live better in your kingdom because of what we have heard today and applied to our lives. Lord, I pray that you encompass this entire church with your spirit and that you teach beyond the words and you teach your life to each of us. In Jesus' name, amen. There are four Gospels: Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. All four Gospels are trusted, but why do we call them Gospels? Because back when they were written, the word gospel meant good news. And what they were bringing is good news. And in that, we look and see, well, why are there four? Why is there a need for there to be four? Well, they say that history is written by the winners. And through my lifetime of study, I've been able to read not only what we believe in the Church of God, but many other aspects from which other churches and denominations were born. And as I look over the world today, I wonder why there are so many different groups of Christians. And their belief is predominantly the same. You must be born again. Jesus lived for us a sinless life. He died on the cross as a sacrifice for our sins, and he rose from the dead. And now he's seated upon the right hand of God the Father, making intercession for us. So we all believe that, but in that there are different groups and different denominations. It's all because we sometimes take a different look at things. For instance, no one here drives the same car in the parking lot. There are all kinds of cars in the parking lot, all kinds of colors. And what God has done is he has made himself known to all of us so that he has an attraction by everyone. He said, "If I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me." History, we look at history and we say, well, this is a fact. There are facts in histories, but there are no history books that are written that are factual because they're written with one view. For instance, there are four of us children in my family. And if you sit down with me and my brother, who's now in heaven, but if you could get a hold of him and my sister and my younger brother, and we said, tell us about your family life, all of us would give a different point of view. Matter of fact, I have dealt with families that one of the children felt that the parents were abusive and the other felt that they were the most loving couple in the world. And it's the same parents. So God understood that we needed different views of this same Christ, of his life and his works. And the good news is, he chose men to write it that would write according to his Spirit. And these books are alive. They will speak to you. You can't just read the Bible and say, well, it's just historical. It is a historical book. Why? Because it has a composition of tradition and sources that are available. It's a historical book because it's taken in the first century Palestine under the rule, the occupation of Rome. It's a historic book because it conveys historical events accurately. So if you're going to study history of the Roman Empire, you've got to include the Bible in that history, because it has been vetted more than any other piece of literature in the world. But the Bible isn't just history. 1 Corinthians 15:14 says, if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. So it's a theological book, not just a history book, but it tells about God and who he is, what he did, how he lived, how he died, why he came here, why we experienced what we experienced in this world. We know when we pick up a tabloid at the supermarket, and I don't pick them up, I kind of glanced through them, and I saw where there had been a B-52 bomber found on the moon. Amazing to me. I didn't want to read about it. But we know that's gossip. We know when we pick up the newspaper, that's supposed to have news. And when we pick up the Bible, we know that it's a holy book. We know that it contains a theological view of who God is. But God chose certain people to write these books so that we would get a different point of view from each one. You know, when God calls you to do something, he calls you because you will have the talents to do it, because you'll have the resources to do it, and he will fit you into those places. God won't call you to do something you can't do. You may think you can't, but God will make sure that everything lines up. For instance, Matthew was a tax collector. Being a tax collector, he would know how to read. There were a lot of people that did not know how to read back then. He'd also know how to keep an accurate accounting. He'd also know what fraud was. So if you're going to choose someone to write a biography about who you are, Matthew would be an ideal choice. Mark followed Simon Peter around, heard firsthand the preaching, and saw what Jesus Christ could do and how lives had continually changed. Luke was a doctor, well-educated, good background. He understood the language of the day. He understood what happened in the temples at that time. He understood the Jewish tradition. John, one of the 12, an eyewitness to who Jesus was. Luke gives us 24 parables more than any other book, gospel. The next to it, I think, is Mark with 23. Matthew 8. Each one had a different vantage point that God was using to show us this complete Jesus Christ and who he is. John said, this is the disciple who bears witness of these things and wrote these things, and we know that his witness is true. John 21, verse 24. These Gospels are not just a biography of Christ. They're not just a theological piece of literature. But they are alive today as they were 2,000 years ago when they were written. John 20, verse 30 and 31. Jesus did other miracles, signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that ye may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that you believing, you may have life in his name. So they are an evangelical work. They're an evangelist. They bring the new good news, not just so that you understand it, not just so that you have a church, but so that you can have a life-changing experience. He said, I am writing these. These gospels have been written so that you can know who Jesus is. And you can allow him to come into your life and his spirit to dwell in you. You can take it from each one of these books, how they start out. And Matthew 1:1 says, a record of the genealogies of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. He is giving you the historical record. He is giving you the Jewish record. He is showing you who the Messiah was and how Jesus Christ is the Messiah according to the historical record of the Old Testament. So he was speaking predominantly to Jews. But he is giving us a very strong record of the prophecies that were fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Mark starts out this way, the beginning of the gospel about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Mark seems to be short and a choppy book, and he gets right to the point. I always said that I preach like Mark does because I say he walked through the door. I don't say as he walked up on the door, the shadows coming over his shoulder. The doorknob was cold as his hands reached out and two fingers touched the knob, and he started to, no, I'm not. Mark's got right to the point. He jumps right into it. He tells you what it is. He tells you what it's about. And he tells us that he is the suffering Son of God, who Jesus is, and how he walked, and how he lived, and how he worked. Luke talks about Jesus as being the Savior of all people. Since I myself have carefully investigated everything from the beginning, it seemed good also to me to write an orderly account. And you said, well, who is this Theophilus? Well, wouldn't you like to know? So would I. But I have studied it, and many of you have. But he was someone that Luke admired, someone that Luke respected. Some think that he was a lawyer that maybe even represented Paul in Rome. And he is writing to him so he could have an accurate account as he went before the judges in Rome. Some believe that he was a teacher of Luke himself when he was practicing medicine. Matter of fact, they didn't have medicine back then like they have medicine now. We have medicine now that'll kill you. More people dying with overdoses of opioids than are dying in car accidents. Oh, be careful. John, Jesus is the eternal Son of God. John doesn't mix words. I knew him. I loved him. I saw him. He was dead. I saw him. He was raised from the dead. I know that he's coming back. He is God. I tell everyone when they become a Christian, they should read the book of John first before they read any other book in the Bible because they need to see who Jesus was and feel the love of Christ come into them. So each one of these books are different. Each one shows a different point of view, vantage point of who Jesus Christ was. And having the four Gospels allow us to go deeper into an understanding of who Jesus Christ is and what he did. Now, why is there four Gospels? Were there more Gospels written? Yes. Anybody and your kids will get this when they go to college. Some professors say, I don't believe the Bible because there are four Gospels and we know that there is a Gospel of Peter and there's a Gospel of... They're going to tell you three or four other books. And you're going to say, is that true? And you're going to find the historical records and you're going to say, yeah, it is true. So what they were teaching me at my church isn't true, so I'm going to believe this professor. Well, you don't have to believe them. Because the reason they're not in there is they were not accurate. They were written, some of them, a couple hundred years after Jesus Christ, claiming that they were with Jesus Christ. The historical records and the place where the people were at when they wrote this were outside of the reach of Christianity as we know it today, so they couldn't have a firsthand account. So none of those books are reliable. Some of them may tell a good story. I've read them. The Gospel of John, Thomas, and the Gospel of Peter. Some were not written. They were not written by Thomas or Peter because they're put down outside the dates of which they were born and died. So they're not reliable. Whenever you have a famous person, you have lots of people writing lots of things about them. Matter of fact, I have been able to live through many presidents, and I see people from one side writing about a president, people from another side writing about a president, and you think, that can't be the same guy. There were people that did not like some of the Christians who were going around and getting people saved. So they wrote their own versions of things. So stay away from them. These four books have been vetted. They have been, the background's checked. Everything is checked. And the early church accepted them as a holy word of God. Now, why do we have four books? Why doesn't somebody take them and synchronize them, put them all together, and make them read as one book? Why don't we take the four children in my family and interview all of them, and then you write a history of my family? Number one, you are not my family, so you're not the one that could write it because you don't know what's true and what isn't. All you can do is read all four of them and then guess. So they tried to do that back as far as, I think, 200 or 300 AD, and they've been trying to do it almost every 100 years since. But somehow it doesn't stick. These stick, because these are true, and they're written by people that truly love the Lord, and they saw what they saw, and they went around, and the whole hundreds of thousands and millions of people have been saved because they read these four books, not because they read the synchronized version that Tertullian wrote in 170 A.D., not because they read the Gospel of Peter or the Gospel of Thomas. They're saved because they read these. So as far as I'm concerned, I want to stick to things that I know work. The Jesus of the Gospels is a Jesus who is God. Matthew shows us how he came through that lineage. Mark tells us in very short words how Jesus lived, what Jesus did, and how he died. Luke gives an orderly account so that anyone who wants to know who Jesus Christ is, they can look to Luke and understand it. Luke also wrote the book of Acts. How do we know that? Because he addressed it to the same person. Some people have said Theophilus was nothing more than a title, like Reverend or Doctor or Mr. or Mrs. I honestly don't know. But I know that Luke was trying to put things in order, and John wrote it because of the love that he had for God. So if you want to know who God is, absorb yourself in the Gospels. Because until you get your relationship with Jesus Christ right, you don't need to get into Revelation or even the book of Acts or Romans or Corinthians. They may tell you how to live, but until you have been born again and understand that you are going to live forever, you can't understand those books. They're nothing but history to you or a guideline of philosophies on how you should live. So nail down first, especially during this Easter season, nail down first that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Jesus Christ is the Messiah. Jesus Christ is God himself. And I've said this over and over and over, and I pray that someone will get it. I pray that everyone will get it. God didn't send his Son. God came himself. He was called the Son of God, and we say he sent his Son because he was conceived by the Holy Spirit. But Jesus was 100% God, and Jesus was 100% man. in the only way that he could sit upon the king's throne, the king of Israel and the king of kings and the king of the kingdom of God, was to have the bloodline that came through Mary from Solomon, all the promises. You wonder why we read genealogies? And he had the earthly right as a stepson of Joseph, coming through the lineage of Solomon after David, to be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. This isn't something that just took place in 5 minutes. It isn't something that just took place in 9 months. This is something that had been planned from the foundation of the world, because God created us with a free will. And that free will is to make choices, just as God says that he can, we can. But he wanted us to have a choice to love him. And the Gospels make it very clear and very clean about who he is and how we are to love him. And when you see Jesus Christ as the Son of God, Jesus Christ as a Messiah, he is the only religious figure that we have in the world today that over 500 people saw him after he rose from the dead. Double this crowd this morning. That's how many saw him. And the disciples who didn't believe, Thomas said, "I won't believe until I see the nails in his hands and cast my hand into his side," died for him. When he saw him, he said, "My Lord and my God." Spread like wildfire back then. And it changed everything. What changed it? The Gospels. Because John said, "The Word was made flesh and dwelt among men." This Word that was written from the beginning was with God. And Jesus was with God. So this book, if you see it beyond history, as you see it as a book of theology, you'll see it as a book that will change you to the point that you can see that life is eternal. And when you see life is eternal, it takes away fear. You can walk in faith. You can walk through sickness. You can walk through heartache. You can walk through financial difficulties. You can walk through death. And you can walk out of the cemetery after the death of a loved one, because you know that you know that you know you have met Jesus face to face. I don't have any doubts because I know him. If you have doubts, I ask you to get back into the Gospels and get to know him and believe. For 2,000 years, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John have inspired millions and millions and millions of people to be believers in Jesus Christ. Each book has something very unique to say to you and to me. But what it says, follow him. And if you don't know him, you can't follow him. You cannot be disciplined enough to follow him, because your rudeness will come out, your self-righteousness will come out, your hate will come out, your discontentment will come out, your dissatisfiedness will come out. Only the Holy Spirit of God can quench those things and make you whole. Let us stand. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that the good news is good news. We thank you for the Gospels. We thank you that for 2,000 years we've been able to trust them. There has been no historical facts that's been able to prove them wrong. They're right, they're dated on when the kings are living and who was in control. And they're right about Jesus Christ. And Lord, the more that we learn about history, the more we learn the truth of the Scriptures. The more we learn about science, the more we learn about you. Because all those things put together in truth point to an almighty God. So I pray, Lord, that today you bring us closer to you. I pray, Lord, that today you help us be all that we can be in Christ Jesus. And it's in that blessed name we pray. Amen.
You've been listening to Pastor Robert L. Fry from Heritage Church of God in Maumee, Ohio, where a salvation experience makes you a member. If you've enjoyed Pastor Fry's message today, we'd love for you to come and join us at Heritage Church of God. We're located at 3520 Strayer Road, in Maumee, Ohio. Just look for the red brick church in the valley. If you'd like more information about Heritage Church of God, or you'd like to receive a copy of today's message, contact the church office at 419-861-9520 or visit our website at heritagechurchofgod.org. And this has been a Heritage Church of God audio outreach ministry.